family. My name is Tex. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Yes. You know, this is like new for me to share first, but you know, with a predecessor, he told me, look, get in your place. So being that, you know, he's an ex-pimp and I'm an ex-ho, I'm a... I'm gonna play the whole position and go first. Yeah, I'm fucked up right about now. You know, the topic is love or lust. And I came from a loveless family. You know, I had a mother that never cared about me at no hour. And all of my life, I ran around trying to find love in all the wrong places. And then at the age of 16, when I became a prostitute, I was taught that it was a business. So it was no feelings involved for me. I don't know what nobody else did, but I came up in the 60s, and when I was out there, I wasn't getting a nut. I was getting paid. You know, I don't know nothing about, you know, I don't even take my clothes off. I still today pull my drawers to the side. You know, I don't know about nobody else, but, I was a hoe for real, you know, and I'm not glamorizing being a prostitute. That was one of the most painful times of my life because I came from the church to the hoe stroke, you know, but I had to do what I had to do. And what I've learned about life is that you put on many paths, whether it's good or bad, but it always leads you to where you got to go in life. And as I've gotten older, I'm kind of grateful for learning how to, for having the opportunity to be a prostitute, because it's made me to be the woman that I am today. And what I try to do is I try to talk to these young women and try to tell them that we ain't got to do it like that. But they tried to do that to me when I first came in. I thought everybody was jealous. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I don't know what that bitch keep talking about. What she keep coming to me for? You know what I'm saying? And what happens is that when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, I haven't been on the whole story. And the only reason I keep telling the whole story is because where I come from, you don't really tell what you did. So, and the first thing my husband said to me when I came to rooms, don't be going in there telling them people your business. You know, hustlers don't do that. It's certain things you keep to yourself. So what I always told was a hoe story. So whatever you think of me, when I tell you that I was a hoe, it's all right. Because I know what I really was. It don't matter what you think of me. You know what I'm saying? So it's not here to glamorize what I did in the street. It's about showing you the pain and how I struggled to get to this point. See, love for me right now is self. See, self is what I needed to love, because all my life I always wanted to love something else. Everything that came in my life, God sent it. Oh, God sent this. Look at what he sent me. But it never worked out. And it's not that it didn't work out. It was that I never loved myself. So how could I love anybody else? See, I always sabotaged the relationship, because if I wasn't in control, there was none. See, I always came out with the money. See, I know how to rope you. Flash the money. I always came with the money because that's my puller. And then once you get roped in, I change. Now you meeting the monster. And I must make you see how I have keep the focus. When the lights went out in the spot, you didn't stop. Don't worry about the lights. Don't worry about the lights. See, that broke my train of thought right there. I ain't got time for that. You know what it is? The devil is something, ain't he? The devil is something, but I'm not going to allow him to interfere with this. Keep the lights on. I don't give a fuck. When y'all come back, when y'all coming back on, I ain't going to have nothing on. I'm going to give y'all a, I'm going to really let y'all know what I hope to do. Turn them on one more time. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to let you know what hoes do. I don't give a fuck. I stand up here and talk with my titties out. But what the topic is about love or lust. I never understood the lust piece. Because, you know, to me, that's like more for men. I lusted when I was a kid because I had to think sexually to get outside of myself from being abused. So I would fantasize all types of shit. But I'm talking about as I got older, it was never no lust. It was never no love because with a hoe's heart, I ain't had room for love. See, I didn't even know how to lay down with a man and be intimate. See, I'm getting ready to tell you something about me. I'm talking about right now. I'm talking about not knowing how to interact with another human being because I am afraid to let you know what I'm vulnerable at. I don't know how to be intimate with you. Intimacy to me is giving you some money or buying you something because all my life they always threw money at me. Here, take this and get out of grown folks' face. When I use my family, threw the money out the window. Don't come up here. I don't want nobody to see you here. Bam, bam. And they say, God damn, all you do is go and they pop. Because I would come with a mini skirt on up to my neck, stand outside my aunt's house. Nana! That bitch was like, bam, get out of here. See, I've always been a sick individual. You know, I always, you know, like, I hear people talking about lost dreams and aspirations. You know what my dream was? I ain't never dreamed to be a doctor, a lawyer. I always wanted to be the best hustler. Money is my addiction. Right now, I must have paper. But I'm not going to see. A lot of people misinterpret me. They think I'm still, you know, like, no, I'm not that anymore. That's the facade. I'm way beyond what you think you see. See, I come from where you shucked and you played the game. So that's all I do is I play the game. You're not supposed to really know who I am. But I'm not hustling. And contrary to what you might think. But when it says to me about love, I had to get in touch with that peace. What is it about me that God keeps giving me this topic? I done had this topic four or five times. What is it that he's trying to get me to identify with? It's not about lusting for me. It's about loving things that I can't help. It's about getting in touch with people, and I always choose people that can't keep up with me. I'm always getting people that claim they love me, but they ain't got nothing to give me. And I'm not talking about financial things. I'm talking about moral support. I'm going to ride or die. I'm going to be with you whether you right or wrong. But they don't give it to me. They feel like they're supposed to be, I'm supposed to always be there. And then when I tell them, listen, I'm fucked up, or you can handle it. Love, I'm afraid to love because everything I ever loved has left me. I don't have no mother, father, sister, brother, none of that. So if I allow myself to be emotionally attached, something always happens. I'm in so much pain right now, but I can't talk about it. I can't reveal it because it ain't for me to tell somebody else's story. But what I have to do again is ride the fucking wave. Because one thing about me, no matter how rough it gets, I'm coming up. And I had to learn something. It don't matter if you love me. It's what I feel about me. See, when I first got on in the streets, they took me to this drug dealer. And they said, Tex, you don't have to be on the whole stroll. You can work on the table. So I thought they were talking about I could lay on the table and screw. You know, I didn't know they were telling me I could bag up. You know, I didn't know what they were talking about. They used to tell me that I was fine. But my mother had destroyed me so bad that I always thought I was messed up. I never thought I looked like nothing. So, when you have a person with a fractured personality, and they think that they got it going on, and when I say got it going on, I ain't talking about in any way like I think I look good. I'm talking about intellectually. And then the females see me all my life, and they mad about what? What are you mad about? When you look at it, we all got the same thing is what you work with it. Don't get mad at me. Because if I wanted something of yours, you wouldn't ever have to guess. I stepped up on it. Whatever the repercussions is, let it be, however, what, why, I. Because there was a time in my life I loved controversy. Because that was my way of seeking attention. You know, I used to ride through the toll booth. Okay, I'm getting ready to tell y'all some shit right now, but... You know, I got to go from serious and now I got to get stupid again. But I used to ride through the toll booths with my titties out. And the reason why I used to do it is I used to never look at the man when I handed him the money. Because I wanted him to look and be like, what the fuck? Yes. Just give me my change, please. But anyway, I don't do that anymore. But back to Love of Lust. You know, I understand now what the concept of this program is. This program is based on building you up to get to self. Everything that the program talks about is getting you back. And I remember when I first came in, you know, like, I seen a guy here. You know, I hope he ain't in the room, but I'm getting ready to tell it anyway. I don't give a shit, but he said he was coming, but I'm going to help him tonight. I seen a guy that I used to mess with when I first came in. And I was using when I first came in, and he would make meetings, and I was on the committees, and I did everything. And every time, you know, I didn't even know, we didn't talk at no hour. All we did was screw. I don't care how your day was and all of that. That's none of my business. I don't care about your wife and all that. Just handle your business and goodbye. But I would smoke dust and sniff dope before he got there. And this day he came. And he put his hand up under the pillow, and he said, because he came quicker than I expected. And I just stuck the dope up under the pillow. And I went to the bathroom, because I'm trying to wipe the dope dust off my nose, because I don't want him to know that I sniff. And he find the dope. And he said, well, what is this? I said, what is what? He said, what is this? I said, oh, Lord, this is the MA police. You know, and I start feeling like a little crazy here. So he said to me, he said, look here, baby. Take this money and go get us some more. I was like, yes! Because see, one thing about me, anybody ever tell you I did something, they did it with me. I don't do nothing with nobody unless they do it too. So I went on my journey, me and him, getting high. And he came to get me out the rehab when I went back in, and they wouldn't let me come out. And to the day, I'm grateful. And I seen him one day, and I told him, I want to thank you. Because he was still trying to bark up on the tree. And I said to him, I messed him up. I said, I want to thank you. He was like, thank me for what? Thank you for helping me recover. See, because if I didn't have that last run with you, I wouldn't be here. Because, you know, when I ran up in Macy's, and took that woman's shit. And they said, Tex, do you realize it's a precinct in the bottom? I forgot about that. I said, oh, shit, I was getting ready to go to jail if I'd have got caught. But one thing I couldn't do at 45 years old, I couldn't do that bitch shit again. I was done. So what I learned in here is that I always loved you more than I loved me. Because it was no problem with me using with him. It was no problem with me doing the things that I did because I must help you reach your goals. And every time you met your goals, you stopped talking to me. And I was like, well, what just happened here? You start talking shit to me. You know, I had an experience. I moved in somebody's house. It's against the grain. I know better. But I did it anyway. And they start telling me about, you don't make enough money. You ain't doing this and talking shit. And I was saying to myself, how did you get here with 15 years clean? What part of the equation did you miss? Because you already been down this road, but this is second step work. No matter how many times you keep doing it, and you keep going over that step with a minimum of concern, like, I don't really have to practice this. I love them. So now, once again, I'm sitting in a situation. And I'm saying to myself, What is wrong with you? Oh, no, I love them. But do you love you? So God kept having it flash in my face, and I kept saying to them, just give me a minute, because I'm getting ready to come up out of here. You know, I'm out of there and getting paper like I can't even tell you. But that ain't the point. It's a point of how I always put myself in uncomfortable situations. I always want to feel like I can help somebody that don't want to help themselves. I don't allow God to do his work. I'd be like, look here, Lord, I got this. Sit on over there and rest. And he like, I didn't ask you to help me with this. So now, no matter how much I babysit, nurse feed somebody, you know, I have to learn to stop breastfeeding people. I ain't had no kids for real, but I want to keep the titty in their mouth. Come on over here, Junior. I'll take care of everything. Just lay right here on Mama Titty. Lay right here. You know what I'm saying? But what I had to learn was breastfeed myself. When are you going to learn that what you do for other people is fine, but why do you always lose you in the process? What part of the equation that you don't get that every time you keep going on these missions to be Captain Save-A-Ho? That you always end up falling short. So now you gotta reevaluate the situation, start paying more attention to the program, get back on it, and start vigorously working it again, because there's somewhere along the line that I've lost and missed something. So, here's my equation of love. For all my life, I've been in loveless relationships. I've always loved a person more than they love me or themselves. I've always was under the illusion that I was that bee. But what I found out after the smoke clears and the illusion is gone, that I'm left effed up and have to start all over again. Now I'm 60. I'm 60 years old, and you would think that at this age, that I would be at a place where I would know something about love. At 60 years old, I'm just finding out that it took me 58 years to catch up to 60. And that on this journey, because I'm standing on top of 61, on this journey, is that somewhere along the line, I don't have that love for you more than me. This is the first time in my life that I've ever made a decision that's going to help Tex and not you. Because in making that decision, that means that I need to let you go. As painful as it might be, because by me being such a caretaker, my son by nature is a clinger. I'm a fucking Klingon. I'm a Klingon, so I want to always help you. But what I'm finding out is, after the umpteenth time of being put in an uncomfortable situation, and I'm finding out that uncomfortability has been my most comfortable spot. As long as I'm uncomfortable and fucked up, I feel that everything is fine. But now God has keep putting me in this position and keep giving me these topics, because what he wants me to see is that I'm the most important person. Been hearing that since I got here, but never could understand what he was talking about. So what I'm doing now for Tex is that I don't care what happens to you. And you can say, well, I don't understand. That's some cold shit. Well, whatever the fuck you feel, that's on you. I know what happens to me. Because no sooner than I think that I feel something for you, I forget about me. I no longer have an interest in myself. And once you lose self, how are you going to help somebody? So my mission right now at this hour is helping self. Because I realized something here. I've always had the potential to help me and somebody else. But if I gave me all that attention, I'd be something else. Listen, I gotta close, but I have to tell you about a hoe. I'm talking about a hoe that shot dope in her neck, underneath her arm, in her groin, in her feet, in her hands. She hit me, gun it in, I want to die. I'm talking about never thinking I was going to make 25. I'm talking about always was down on the dirty dollar. The hardest thing for me to give up wasn't the drugs, it was the lifestyle. Yeah. Yeah. I love the hustle. But what happens right now is I have to transform that energy and put it in something positive. So I'm going to close with this about the hoe. They're standing here with the pimp. They told me to get in position, bitch, and just get up there and share. I now have a bachelor's of masters and working on my doctorate. The next time anybody call me a hoe, they're going to call me Dr. Ho.
Oh, that was great. And for our second speaker, I would like to introduce Charlie S.
Charlie who?
C.
Oh,
Charlie C. Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Let me let them dive out the window, because it'd be time to do so. My name is Charlie C. I'm a recovering addict. Let me ask one question. Is anybody in here grateful to be clean? Yeah. Sometimes, I hate to even go here. Y'all might be prepared for something. Some stuff in here, you know, be a setup. You know, part of the obligation of a recovering addict is to watch for setups. You got to guard yourself against setups. You got to watch what you're telling yourself. You got to watch what you're listening to. You got to watch who you're around. You got to be able to, if you're the person that's harmed yourself the most in your life, then you need to see that motherfucker coming. And I found out that in order to find out who you are, you got to first find out who you're not. So you can stop acting like who you're not, so you can discover who you really are. Love and lust is a setup. You know, some of these topics I would resist, and then when I thought further, I say, well, maybe this is a gateway to sort out the contradictions and confusion sometime that we have. See, with all these people in here at this time of the night at the Love or Lust workshop. What the fuck did you come in? Well, when I walked in there, I said, what the fuck did they come in here for? Let me start out before I go crazy. Yeah, because there's some go crazy, and we need to have another conversation with each other. We need to update and refresh our conversation as recovering addicts with each other. Ain't no sense of me going back to what street I lived on and all that stuff and what happened back in my active addiction. Since we got this clean time and we have earned, we have got some of the stigma cut off of who an addict is, then it's the responsibility of the person with the clean time to keep this fresh. I was a hoe. You know what I'm saying? And I thought I was a pimp. That was just a setup for the real basic square stuff I got to tell you now. And we're going to get to some of that juicy stuff that you've been waiting on, because we some funny motherfuckers. You ever been riding somewhere and told yourself, you know what, I'm a strange motherfucker. And I said, if I ever get some clean time, and I ain't used no dope since October 7th, 1987. Right. Yeah, we need to clap. Yeah, I'm one of them clap your ass off. But look, yeah. A victory for one of us is a victory for all of us. And the real basic square stuff that we like to start this with. Our primary purpose is to carry this message as a group to the addict who still suffers. I want to say welcome to the new person. You are the most important person at this meeting or any meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. You don't ever have to use again. Before we get too fancy, before we really tell how recovery is for real, I think one of the biggest ills that happens in this process is that we let the old timers go too soon. No one discusses the real process, and you get this illusion, this unrealistic expectation of what happens when you get some clean time. You know, it's a long journey from 1987 to the year 2009. And along the road, there are going to be many exits. Sometime along this road, you're going to get off on the wrong exit. And so that you don't feel alone in your time, so you don't have an unrealistic expectation, because now we doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs. A lot of the stuff that I got as wisdom now didn't come from my brilliance. It came from challenges I had to face with myself till I changed. See, we want the girl to pull down her dress soon as she come to Narcotics Anonymous. You want honesty and open-mindedness and willingness from a crackhead. where I've been living and using to live, and all I know is what I brought with me from the street. You expect too much from me. So that you don't feel alone in your process, what must it be like to live with you until you change? Is it love or is it lust? This program can't work without love. And before I go to this other part of the circumstance, and you know what I mean, I want to say I love you. And I love you. And I love y'all. And I love y'all for staying up and giving us your support. This program can't work without love. I was talking to my predecessor. And Harold is such a regular guy that a lot of times I forget that I took direction from people just like that. They didn't have no whole bunch of clean time. And I love you. And I love you. They had no bunch of clean time. They ain't had no how it works and why. They didn't have no long years of clean time. In fact, some of the stuff they told us, I don't know where they got that shit from. But what I do know is that it worked and they were consistent. Harold told me they were consistent in what they believed. See, ain't nothing like a good ass whooping, because reading, I believe they tell you that only after a thorough ass whooping are you ready. Because you don't see that old sit down and shut up. Yes, they did say that, because really, if you really got a thorough ass whooping, you don't have a whole lot to say. I don't see a motherfucker with a good ass whooping on him have a lot to say. He sit there and be real receptive to whatever's told to him. And we're not talking about just that surrender ass whooping. We're talking about the ass whoopings we taking now. Some of the ass whoopings we volunteer for now. Is it love or is it lust? I had to find out some real truths. You know, I like to do a lot of funny shit. I left because I had to go down to get this shirt. I make t-shirts now, but the real point of this one kind of fit this workshop. I don't know if y'all can see it, but this is a damn rat sitting in front of a rat trap looking at this damn cheese. Now it appears, if you're sitting in front of something that would kill your ass, that you would leave it the fuck alone. But this damn rat, it remind me of me and you. Instead of surrendering, he went and got a damn helmet. Wait a minute. Now you already, man, I already told you he just got out the penitentiary. The girl that told you she was a thief or she was a hoe. And yet, instead, we go put a helmet on to cushion the shock of a harsh reality. You be in a situation, love or some lust, you run, put your helmet on in situations. You don't ask a whole lot of questions, and lust don't have a real constant healthy attitude toward consequences. I believe lust is a second cousin to obsession and compulsion. Yeah, some of our character defects put on lipstick and then dress themselves up. It's something else. You'll call some stuff another name. real lust will make you stop listening to your sponsor. Ask me how I know. Real lust is blind and is a driving force. It's an overwhelming need to do what you just feel like you just got to do. Some of us been there before. See, we got to, it's going to come a time where you're going to have a real program. And you're going to have a real sponsor. And you're going to need a real God. We encourage you to get that stuff now. Some of y'all need to go to the damn marathon meeting after this. So you can go on and get honest about some of that stuff that's been going on. Them choices you done made. In fact, one of the greatest crimes that can ever be committed in here is when people keep stealing from themselves and don't even realize anything is missing. We be stealing from ourselves and don't even realize anything is missing. We'll go put on a helmet. We'll rename some stuff. I know some of y'all ain't getting honest with your sponsor because of the indecent proposal me and you made the other night. You ain't told your sponsor that, have you? Yeah, I know how some of y'all laughing. Because some of us told you we was married. We told you that your sponsee. You know what I'm saying? And yet you went on to put on a helmet in the situation. And proceeded to try to make some shit that you already know don't work. Love and lust, hopefully, is to shatter the illusion that somebody talked about earlier today, about shattering illusions so that you don't continue to trick yourself. It's a thing, initially, I was about to say, no, I don't do no workshops like that, because I've changed. You know, a couple people in here, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, sometimes will keep you stereotyped to an illusion that you set forth for them. To hide something from them. Because it's so difficult to really expose yourself. It's difficult to get honest because sometimes the truth is embarrassing. It's a lot of confusion about the truth. There's a lot of illusions. And we put a lot of lipstick on the truth. Put eyebrow pencil. We'll wear a mask so long we forget that we even have the mask on. You put eyebrow pencil and lipstick on the mask because you think the mask is you. One day life going to hit you so hard, your mask going to fall off. And you're going to need to know the truth for real about some stuff. That's when you're going to need a real sponsor and a real God. You won't need none of them imaginary friends that we smile and pat hug along. A lot of us is dealing with imaginary friends in this process. You can have an imaginary relationship. We like to play with broken toys. Wait a minute. Is it love? Is it lust? Or is it insanity? Is it love? Is it lust? Or is it loneliness? Is it love? Is it lust? Or is it low self-esteem? Is it love? Is it lust? Or is it foolishness? Is it love? Is it lust? Or is it nonsense? At some point, you're going to have to stand in your own truth and find out what time it is for real. You have to own up and open up for real. You ain't going to always look good during this process. Sometimes you're going to have to stand in the same place that you done failed. I want to say welcome back to those who have had the process of relapse. You ain't going on no weekend trip or nothing. Let's cut to the chase on that bullshit. Sometimes we get where we coming from in this program twisted. You know, we playing a clean time race. No. If God bless you to stay here, such as me, you got to keep the light on. Remember, where we coming from is no addict need die without a chance to find a new way to live, without a chance. If that man or that woman got to come here 1,000 times, if addiction don't kill him, just hold the door open. Thank you, baby. So, if it's love or is it lust, is somebody going to have to define that? So you can stop lying to yourself and giving little cute names to bullshit. No, I ain't no pimp. Sometimes you got to separate fantasy from reality. One of the hardest things to do, I found in this program, you know, we always trying to go get some damn food from our past. You know, as soon as somebody hurt your feelings or say something to you you don't like, here we go and get our clown suit. I had mine folding up earlier today in my back pocket, waiting for somebody to tell me something I didn't want to hear. I was aware that I had my clown, so you know how you fold up one of them fold-up raincoats? I had mine, carrying mine around with me with going on 22 years clean. You better know who you are and know who you fucking with when you're talking about messing with yourself. You better be able to hear yourself coming and stop lying to yourself about what you got the potential to do, which most times is act a damn fool. It's, you know, most people get killed by, not by gangsters, they get killed by damn fools with hurt feelings. People who are sensitive, we misjudge a lot of times people who appear to be angry, but they don't never call them sensitive. Why do what bother you so damn much? It's some real questions that's got to be asked about ourselves so we can get to core. See, a lot of this stuff won't serve. Disease of addiction don't give a fuck if you came in here to have a good time. As long as you leave this convention and you didn't learn nothing, protect yourself about what's fitting to happen to your ass in a particular affair. One day life's going to jump out the bushes. It's going to send a UPS truck to your damn house with an affair that you wasn't prepared for. When the UPS truck come to your house. What an affair that you hadn't been expecting. You ain't going to be able to say, you know, when my ex was leaving out the door that time and her sponsors was on, you know how women have a wonderful way of leaving your ass when you ain't home. And it's going to come a time where you're going to have to use some recovery for real. I believe the steps give you a responsibility. Let me slow that down. Hopefully, for people like me who have feelings and who have disabilities as a result of what happened in the street. You're talking about, is it love or lust? Do you really know what addiction left you with? It didn't leave you with much. You're trying to love and show concern for others, but you've been flagging cars every day. You've been hiding at your job. Sometimes we hide in here with education. Everybody's mama in here wasn't no hoe. Some of us feel bad about our missed opportunities. Some of us will do anything for you to snatch my mask off and find out how I really am. Instead of this confident, cocky, secure person. See, some in the fourth step is saying, one, most of us believe that there's a ghost hiding in the closet. Most of us believe there's a monster inside of us that if released will come out and destroy us. Well, thank God, one day you're going to have to stand in your own truth. You're going to have to see what you're capable of. You're going to have to take a look and come face to face with that monster so you can see how your ass is. When he leave you, all that good sharing you've been doing at the damn meeting. You don't mess with newcomers, and here come the finest thing you ever seen in your life. You need to see how you are. You need to catch yourself in the car down the street from somebody's house, wanting to see and trying to see your ex getting a date with the new person. You have to see or catch yourself on that phone beeping somebody to death or texting them. Some of us done went text crazy in there, and I know it. You need to see that. You need to see what you're capable of so you can shatter the illusion. Guess how I know she used to be my girl. Look, 2.5-3 years ago, you know, hiding low self-esteem. You know, I like being Charlie. See, you can come in here and create a new illusion. Forgetting how and who you really are. That you're sensitive and you've had low self-esteem a long time based on feelings of inadequacy and inferiority. You know, when I found out what y'all liked, I dressed up and I cocked up. You understand? To hide the fact, I had peeped y'all whole car, right? Until one day I was running stuff, and the other day a hoe told me if I didn't keep up, I wasn't going to get a piece of the rock or the $5 hit. Things had changed. The rabbit had the gun. Now the rabbit ain't got no business with no gun. 2.5 years ago, and this is about me. See, it's some stuff you need to learn about yourself so you can stop talking so damn much. See, real recovery, sometimes it tell your ass, tell yourself to shut up. Charlie, stop. Don't be ridiculous. You know how many times I done had to tell myself, don't be ridiculous. Is it love or is it lust? Sometimes maybe it's, is it inconvenience? Wait a minute. You've been servicing me every Friday and Wednesday night. You gonna leave me? You gonna inconvenience me like that? It look like it's love. But who gonna spank me? I mean, who I'm gonna spank on Friday if you leave me? We'd be so hurt. Oh, I'm in pain. You an inconvenience. Self-centered person, you know, look at you like you got a lot of nerve leaving me. Don't you know I need you to do blank and blank on Wednesday night? Like that indecent proposal we agreed to, you know what's happening. And I know you ain't told your sponsor. In fact, if your sponsor interfered with Wednesday night, you'll get rid of her. Oh, y'all know. That sponsor get too motherfucking close in person. Real lust ain't gonna let nothing get in its way. It's a deep need. Just like addiction. You know, when them days, if you was a real addict, when you couldn't even imagine, you done had a good crackhead day, a good dope fiend day. And it seemed like you would have sense enough to go on home. Even the dope man to say, Charlie, you already owe me, man. I done gave you credit and everything, man. I've been all right by you. Go on home, man. But you can't let it go. You locked and loaded. You obsessed and compelled. Some of y'all done been there. Some of y'all might be there right now. And in every addict's life, it come that night where you tell yourself, you know what? I'm a sick motherfucker. And real lust don't care about what you told yourself. It's got a mission. It's got a real mission. I hate to say this, but it's the truth. And you may find yourself, all that shit you believe about yourself, you need. My sponsor told me to write a letter to all my disappointments. All the things I done discovered about myself. Every woman that done left me, you told me to write a thank you note to all of them. I said a thank you note. Yeah, thanking them situations for teaching you something that you would have never learned under any other circumstance. Thank you for leaving me. Giving me the opportunity to learn something about myself. I'm going to be much better next time. My ex-woman relapsed. Now, she was a very beautiful woman. She made my recovery look good. I had got so out of my mind, I was enjoying being Charlie C. So Tough, and she went with it. Business, new car, tall, you know, I'm 5'7", she's 6'1". Yeah, you got to shout an illusion or God will for you. God will send you an attention getter. And she relapsed. Oh, motherfucker, she relapsed. I'm inconvenienced now. See, it looked like love. Like Charlie, see, woman, now you know he loved her. And as I was really thinking about an inventory of the situation, I had become inconvenienced. I didn't have a replacement for her. You've been inconvenienced. If it's love, or is it lust, or is it inconvenience? We got to name this so we can see how we going to help ourselves with this. She relapsed. I got 19 years clean. And I own a sign company with writing all over signs and banners and shit like that. And I drive up to this city. And I'm finna find her because she got to do her service work on Sunday. My woman can't relapse. So I'm finna go to the dope house, drive through the, you understand, I done pull my clown suit all the way out. I got the big nose on. I got the red hair. You know how we do. You don't know who you fucking with. You know, I'm going all the way out. I'm in full guard. I got the big old shoes on. Finna go to the dope house. And I'm Charlie. I figured somebody done relapsed to answer the damn door. I didn't know I was like that. I didn't know I was like that. I didn't know I'd go to the dope house to get my woman, who was powerless at the time. Thank God I never found her. In closing, to some of my situations, I had to do this. And let's get to the solution. Because real love will show itself indeed. I got flown up here by love. I rode around all weekend because of love. People been showing me love. And so in healing myself, and sometimes you got to really identify some stuff happening with you. All my misinformation I had about women and how things go that back in the day and old school shit. I had to write a letter to every woman in my life. I sat down and wrote a letter. Dear mama, please forgive me for misunderstanding you and how you tried to raise me. I'm in recovery now. You know, and I love you for your effort. I had to say to all the women in my life, I'm sorry for hitting you and sorry for hurting you. I didn't understand. I was misinformed. You know, I thought you wanted me to make love to you I really heard you when you said you wanted to talk and you wanted some affection and you wanted some attention. I apologize for how I talked to you. I didn't understand. Please forgive me. It helped me heal from the misinformation. Oh, forgive me for how I acted, how I didn't understand. And when I wouldn't listen to you, I'm going to listen much better this time. forgive me. I didn't know that you were enough. I appreciate you and I love you. And all them trips I took to your abortion clinics with Carla and Janet, I mean, it hurt me too. I took 1,000 trips to the abortion clinic over the years, hurting, not understanding, saying, it's all right, you go ahead and I do what you have to do, but it killed me inside. There's a lot of stuff we don't talk about that we may need to have another conversation with ourselves so that we can free ourselves. It's going to come a time when you're going to have to pimp with your pain. You have to turn on your pain and pimp with it. You have to use your recovery for real and stand strong with it. And you have to get honest and be for real. Because you understand, ain't no sense of fooling us. You can't fool us. We are not impressed. You can take that mask off and throw it away. Because it don't do no addict no good to wear no mask. Because it's cellophane. You can see right through that motherfucker. So in closing, no matter what you're going through, let me tell you something I found. That God is arranging things. All the stuff that some of us have been through a lot of painful stuff in our lives. But you always ended up all right, didn't you? You always came up out of it. You always survived whatever happened to you. Maybe God got your back. Maybe the situation we've been in was a fixed fight. Maybe you couldn't have never lost. Maybe now in recovery, you can take more risk considering that God has always had your back and got your back now. Maybe the same God that brought you here is still with you and will keep you. Thanks for letting me share.